Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Yeah. It can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hey, I'm Anne.
And I'm Kendra, and you are listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio. You can watch us on video on AFA streaming. We're on YouTube, Instagram, podcasts, Facebook. Come connect with us. We would love to just join you wherever you are in your journey. If you are struggling through infertility, if you have had a miscarriage, if you are in the middle of an adoption, and if God is building your family in a unique way, we understand. We have been there. We want to walk with you on that journey.
That's right. So today I was going to start out the show just with a sweet poem. The poem is actually found on organicchristianliving.com.
And no pesticides in your Christianity.
No pesticides in that Christian. I'm big on pesticides these days. No pesticides these days. And so anyway, I thought that I would start us out with this journal. It's called Entering the Wilderness. You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. That's Deuteronomy 8:2, and so this will start the poem. The wilderness, so vast and so many unknowns. It's a place no one wants to enter, and yet it's a place the Lord has or will eventually call us into. A place of trials, a place of suffering, a place of questioning, and sometimes even a place of wondering. When we look down the path that leads into the wilderness, it whispers of uncertainty, can be frightening and almost deafening. What lies ahead? What will I encounter? Will I be able to adapt? Will I be able to survive? How long will I be here? If today you find yourself staring at a vast unknown, I understand not wanting to enter. And if you're already in the wilderness, I understand wanting to escape it. But consider this. If we didn't ask to enter the wilderness and weren't actively seeking it out, how did we end up here? By coincidence? By accident? No, we were led here. And you already know by who. By the one who goes ahead and behind, the one who created you. Yes, the wilderness is mysterious, challenging, scary, and sometimes dark. But it is also filled with special things waiting to be found, concealed and secret things that God is waiting to reveal to you, hidden treasures that could never be found outside of this place, but you must be willing to look. Yes, the wilderness will test your faith, but we have been told to rejoice when this happens. Rejoice, though, now for a little while, if need be. You have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, through it is testified by fire. May we be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you, love. 1 Peter 1:6-8. We have also been promised that when God tests us, we will emerge from the other side better than when we entered, like gold that has been purified by fire. Yes, our weaknesses will be revealed, but we have been shown that it is at our weakness that we become strong. You will be bent beyond what you thought was possible, but you will not break. However, this is only true if you lean into Jesus and depend on him to lead you through. Don't push him away or try to run in the opposite direction of where he is leading you, for God is not the one who led you here, but also the one who will sustain you in it and ultimately deliver you from it. God will not allow the wilderness to overcome you. He goes before you and he is with you. It may take days, weeks, months, or even years, but there will come a time when you will revere the wilderness because it was in that place that the Lord was closer than ever before and where God revealed the deepest parts of his heart to you. For it is in our sufferings that we are able to draw closer to Christ than ever before. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. 1 Peter 4:12-13. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. 2 Corinthians 1-3. I'm almost done.
You keep going, girl. Preach.
I speak not as a woman who has experienced the wilderness and emerged on the other side, but one who is still in the midst of the wilderness, as one who can say, what was once an unknown has become now my home. I'm no longer desperately trying to escape. Instead, I press forward, following my Savior to the tops of mountains and into the depths of the seas. And through the years, the Lord has shown me that there is indescribable beauty and unimaginable blessings that can only be found in the vastness of the wilderness. And as I stand here in the wilderness, I know some of you are standing in your own wilderness. Although our individual wildernesses may be different, our God is the same, and his promises are for you and for me. So as you read this, it's as if I'm looking over at you, and we both stand in our own private wildernesses, and I'm shouting out, he is working, he is moving, and he is still here. Then there are those of you who are staring at the wilderness you are just now about to enter. And as you read this, I imagine you look out in the distance and you see me already in the depth of the wilderness. And as I smile at you, I shout, don't be afraid of entering this vast unknown. Jesus is here, and he will sustain you through the highs and the lows, through the nights and the days, for he will make a way. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Isaiah 43:19.
Preach, sister.
I thought that was so good.
That applies to the struggle of infertility, like, perfectly.
Yeah.
And not just infertility, but so many phases of our life where we do feel like we're in a wilderness and we feel like it's wasted time.
Yeah.
And we feel like we're just wandering. But the time that Israel spent in the desert, now it was longer because of their disobedience. There's a lesson there. But that was a process that God had to bring them through. Right. Before they could get to the promised land, they had to go through the wilderness. And I think about how Israel was not really a nation when they left Egypt. They were just a group of scattered people that were descendants of Joseph.
Yeah,
so they're led out, and it's through the process of going through the wilderness that their identity as a nation is formed and their character is tested. And so, like, so much of our identity and our character is formed as we go through that wilderness experience. And I love how the poem really just focuses on viewing that time of the wilderness as such a positive thing. It talks about, like, gold being purified.
Yeah.
And, like, both of us have said that, you know, our time of infertility, like, wouldn't wish it on anyone.
Right.
But looking back now, I see God used that to get stuff out of my life that I don't know that there's any other tool that would have been as efficient.
Yeah.
As getting that selfishness, that idolatry, that yuck that was in me out. And one of the beautiful things about, man, we talk about this poem the whole episode, and it's great. one of the things about the Israelites in the wilderness is that God sustained them miraculously. Mm-hmm. So like if you go read in scripture, it says that their sandals did not wear out. Like mine wear out every year and I don't walk as much as they did. I hardly walk at all. And so like their clothes did not wear out. Right. It was a supernatural miracle. And then God like time and time again provided them water in the middle of dry. I think it's called Timnah National Park. It's like right as you cross into southern Israel, it's like super dry and arid and it's actually beautiful. There's these giant rock formations, but it is dry. I mean, I need chapstick thinking about it, you know, and like God provided water for them out of rocks. Like in the midst, like if you want to see the hand of God move in your life, go through the wilderness, because I think it's often harder to rely on him when we're in times of plenty.
Yeah.
But it's in the wilderness that that relationship, that trust of I need you to be the very air that I breathe, that you are my water, the water of life. And if you're listening to this and you're in a desert right now, let me just encourage you. You can come to him. He has springs of living water flowing in him. And the New Testament tells us that it can flow out of you too. Yep. So even in the wilderness, you can have streams of living water flow out of you. Well, we're going to jump into today's topic. The rest of the show, we would like to talk about, for those of you that are struggling with infertility and you see, you're scrolling through on Facebook and that pregnancy announcement pops up from some friend.
Yep.
Oh, it's our 17th baby and it just happened.
We don't know how it happened.
He blinked at me. And you're like, I know I'm supposed to love babies and I'm supposed to love you and you're my friend, but I kind of want to crush something in my hand right now.
Yeah.
So they're really hard to receive.
Yeah.
But there's also an aspect of, Aaron and I have talked about this off air a lot. Like once after our time of struggling with infertility, once we did become pregnant, we had formed relationships with all of these other women that were still going through their wilderness. And we're like, how do we tell them? Like I was afraid to tell. I remember you telling me that you were pregnant with me.
I was very nervous to tell you.
Yeah. And it was, I will say this, there was something different when it's somebody who has co-struggled with you in infertility that you've prayed for when they tell you. Because first of all, you were incredibly sensitive in the way that you told me. Well, and secondly, like, of course, I'm happy anytime there's life.
Yeah.
But when there's somebody who has struggled, it actually, for me, was a reminder of the miracles of God.
Yeah, that's what another friend who works here, she's been on Hannah's heart before. But that is the same thing she said. She was like, no, whenever it's someone who has struggled with infertility and, you know, you see the Lord answer those prayers, it is a reminder, like, no, he's still working, you know. And that is how... Yes, I felt hearing about other people who had struggled with infertility. You know, I would hear people, this is before I feel like I had a community of other people who had struggled with infertility, but I remember seeing a lady, she had struggled for 8 years.
Wow.
And then finally had a baby, and I remember like, so is that just what you have to do? Mm-hmm. You know, you've got to struggle for eight years, you know? Because, you never do know, you know, when that your tomorrow will come that you get that positive test. You know, is it going to be a month? Is it going to be a year? Is it going to be 5 years? You know, we never do know that. And so that's what a friend of mine said. She was like, I just wish that the Lord would just like tell me, like, you're going to have a baby one day. Like, that's all I need to hear is just one day. But then I was like, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Because then you would still want to know. Well, when and why not now? And, you know, well, what do I have to do to make it, you know? So, you know, we all know that the Lord doesn't work like that. But yeah, sometimes when we are still walking through the wilderness, it's like it would be nice if we could get a sign, be like 30 more days, you know? Like,
yes.
Because you're like, I can do anything for that amount of time. But
one suggestion I have, if you do have a pregnancy announcement and you know somebody that you want to maybe invite to your shower or you want to tell them about it and you're nervous about how they're going to receive it, one thing the Lord laid on my heart to do when I had a shower for Eliana, there were three dear, very close friends that I had that were I knew were struggling with infertility and had miscarriages. I didn't want to just not invite them to the shower, right? Because I'm like, because
that's hurtful.
That's too. Hurtful too. Yeah. And you don't know if they want to be there or not, you know? Yeah. And I was like, I would totally understand if they don't want to come. But so we sent invitations, but I made sure to send them a private message that said, hey, I know the journey you're going through, and I wanted to make sure that you were invited because you're a dear friend to me, but I 100% understand if this is too painful for you to come, and you totally have an out, and I'm still praying for you and for God's miracle and the way he's going to move in your life. Mm. And I also had a dear friend that I knew was going to be coming to that shower who desperately wanted to be married, and the guy just hadn't come along. And so she was struggling with, like, you know, I would love to be a mom. Like, am I? And so actually at the shower, which all of them, to their credit, I don't know if I could have done it with some of what they were. God knows their journey. I won't say it on air, but they showed up and were so supportive and were so kind. Mm. But we felt led to have a time of prayer for those that wanted to become moms at the shower. So that's an idea of something that you can do if the Lord does open your womb and allow you to do that, and you know somebody's struggling. Mm. But and any tips for somebody that maybe keeps seeing pregnancy announcements and they're struggling with infertility and that little ping of jealousy hits their heart?
Well, I don't know if this is just like a duh thing or something that maybe people don't want to hear, but like, get off of social media.
That's a good point.
I mean, like, honestly, I had to do that for a little while. And for some reason, it seems lame to be like, oh, what if I still want to be on Facebook? Just because I'm not getting pregnant doesn't mean I shouldn't be able to get on Facebook. Mm-hmm. But like, if it's hurting you.
If it's a jealousy inducer.
Yeah.
If then unplug.
Every time you get on there, you're seeing an announcement and it makes you upset, then don't get on.
Sure.
It's okay to go a while without looking at Facebook. Really, my time when I do get off of Facebook for a little while, it's like a relief.
Yeah.
It really is. Gives because there's plenty of things that, like, we really don't have to see every day.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it is a reminder, too, what people put on Facebook. Think about what you put on Facebook for just a minute. If you think about the last two or three posts, did you post the top best part of your day, or did you post the worst part
of your day? Right. Nobody's posting the worst part.
I mean, some people do.
Some people post everything. So, yeah,
typically, though, you know,
to each his own.
It's the top 10% of your life,
right?
And so we see that, and our minds read that as, man, everything's great for the Johnsons.
Yeah, yeah.
Look at them and their perfect little pretty matching hats in their little Easter photo. You know, and we do that and without even trying to. And it hurts. And it hurts to see that. And so just a reminder, you know, after however God builds your family, it's messy. So that person that you might be struggling with jealousy over, they might actually be going through a really hard time.
Oh, for sure.
And you don't
know
it.
You just don't know it. Yeah.
I do think it's important when you get pregnancy announcements that you eventually get to the place where you can pray for that individual.
Mm, for sure.
If you can't rejoice with life and pray for them, I do think that's kind of a heart issue. It's a heart issue.
Yeah.
It's a heart check.
Yeah. Now, even though we're all, it is hard. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to like make infertility easy just now because I'm on the, you can say the other side, but I believe infertility affects you for the rest of your life.
100%.
At least mentally.
100%.
That we still have to rejoice with life, what you're saying. Like, God, each life is valuable and sacred and special. So even if it does come, you hear of a 15-year-old who's pregnant, and you're like, well, that's not fair.
Yes.
You know, that is life, and that is precious. And so if you can't even rejoice, I know if a 15-year-old's pregnant, something not biblical happened.
Yes.
But you still need to pray for protection over that life, for that little girl who is pregnant, you know. And so for those types of things, if you can't pray about it, then you might need to go somebody to talk about it.
I totally get if your first reaction is hurt.
Yeah.
Not necessarily jealousy, but just ouch, hurt. It's okay to process that feeling. That feeling is a very natural thing.
For
not saying that it's right, but it is very natural.
Yeah.
So go ahead and process that. Take that to the Lord. But then if you can, within 24 hours, make yourself pray for that person and say, Lord, help them through that pregnancy. Here's a scripture to exactly what you just said, Anne. This is Romans chapter 12. Let me start in verse 13. No, we're going to go back to 12. Romans 12:12. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. So this chapter is about community living. And it says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Then verse 15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. So just like we invite others when we struggle with infertility or miscarriage, we invite them to mourn with us, even though they might not understand. We have to choose to rejoice with others. And I love that Christ sets that example. I was just reading the other day about Lazarus in John chapter 11. When Jesus heals Lazarus from the dead, it says that Jesus wept. Mm-hmm. It's right before he comes in, and Mary and Martha, they're the biological sisters of Lazarus. They're weeping and just like, Lord, why did you let this happen? And Jesus knows he's going to raise him from the dead, but he stops and he weeps.
Yeah.
Then he raises from that. So Jesus is emotional.
Yeah.
He has human feeling, and he chose to empathize with Mary and Martha in that moment, even knowing that that wasn't the end of that story.
Right.
So in the same way that Jesus empathizes with us, he wants us to trust others in the body of Christ with our hurt, but also be willing to rejoice with them.
For sure. So what would we say to people like us? Mm-hmm. And now you do have a pregnancy announcement, but you still have multiple friends that you don't want to hurt, or even people you might not know, but you know that Facebook post might hurt some feelings. What do we say to those women?
Well, to a certain extent, and I want to be careful how I say this. And again, this is me being through both sides. I don't think you need to hide your news or hide your joy.
Yeah.
That's not fair of somebody else to expect that of you.
Right.
So I don't think you need to feel any shame or guilt about posting and your news and rejoicing. But I think with that, keeping in mind that sensitivity of that individual, if you know someone that is struggling, that's where you can reach out to them when you do have your news, or even in your Facebook post. You could even say, you know, especially if you've struggled with infertility, hey, this was such an answer to prayer for anyone who's still waiting on their miracle. Just know I see you.
Yeah.
If you say something like that, oh, man, that makes that infertile woman feel seen.
Yeah.
How about you? What do you think?
I agree. And I even had friends that I wasn't even necessarily close to, but that knew I was struggling still when they got pregnant.
Yeah.
I had someone call me. I had someone text me. Multiple people text me first and just say, hey, you know, I know you're still walking through this, but I did just want to share some news with you first.
Yeah.
And so that really meant a lot to me. So I wasn't seeing with the rest of the world the Facebook post that I kind of felt a little special that I got to know, you know, we had friends in Texas. Hey, Erin, if you're listening. and friends in Texas who... She had no reason other than that she just cared for me to let me know. And so anyway, it really meant the world to me. She never struggled with infertility that I know of, but she still let me know that about
their
news.
How did she tell you?
She texted me, very sweet. It wasn't like a book text message, but just a sweet message, and just said, actually, I think it was over Instagram. And she just said, you know, we're excited to share our news. I just want you to know I'm praying for you.
That's
and
cool.
I've committed right now to begin praying for you every day as I'm walking through pregnancy, and I know this is somewhere that you want to be.
That's something too. You just mentioned that she texted. I think that it is helpful. Like I was nervous about being ambushed with news and having to process. Like my worst fear was I don't want somebody I love to think that I'm not happy for them, but I don't want to break down in tears if somebody tells me their news in person.
Yes.
So if you know someone's struggling with infertility, it might be a kind thing to do it through text.
Yes, that
or
is
Facebook.
I feel like that is the way I ended up telling. Well, I know that's how I told you and our other friend. And then
so they don't feel the pressure of having to perform.
So like you can grieve if you need to. Yeah. And then like next time we see each other, you know, we'll talk about it.
Yeah. Hey, one last thing too, I was going to mention with pregnancy announcements. I know one thing I had to process was because of our journey and the infertility and the fertility treatments that we did, I did not get to tell my husband and surprise him with our news. Everybody's story is different, but that was something as a single person I always dreamed about.
Yeah.
Like someday, how would I tell my husband that I was pregnant? And that was something I had to grieve, and I had to lay down in the Lord and lay down in front of the Lord and say, you know what? Everybody's story is different.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of aspects of our story that I would not have picked or had to have gone through, but it's uniquely ours.
Yeah.
And I've asked the Lord, Lord, help me fall in love with our story and the way that you're doing it for its ups and its downs. And that was a down. I didn't get to have him come home and open up a present that I'd made with cute little cards. But you know what? Our moment was amazing and it was beautiful and it was ours. And if you're listening to this, God has a moment for you. I don't know how he's going to build your family, but be willing to surrender your story to the Lord.
Okay. I think that's so true. And this show's kind of flown by.
It has.
Thought it was going to like go a little slower, but I hope that this show is a little helpful to those of you that listened in today, because this is still heavy on our hearts as we're still walking through life with our babies now, but that we still have such a huge heart for women who don't have that baby in their arms just yet.
So if you're in the wilderness right now, just know God sees you and he's with you and he loves you. Thanks so much for listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio.
See you next week.